gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Horror Connection. First episode of 2021. With me, I am Tony Viejo, and with me as always is Sir Michael Belinsky. Mike, how are we doing this year?
I'm doing pretty good. And it is, you know what, I'm going to say, it's nice to hear a different year. I feel like this year's been going on for a lot longer than a year.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good that we moved past
We got over that.
Yeah.
You know, went out in a pretty smooth fashion, you know, I guess. I don't know. It was a weird ending.
It was.
You know, there's that cult out there doing their thing.
Yeah.
You know, which I might not want to lead with that. Hold on. Nah, fuck it. That way, anyway. There's that cult out there doing their thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We had a terrorist attack in this country, but no one's calling it that.
Right.
That's weird.
Well,
where do you stand on that, by the way?
On
not the bombing, like the bombing's bad.
Yeah, yes. Am I pro bombing?
No.
Is that the question?
No. I mean, circumstantial. No, you're not pro bombings. No one's pro bombings, except for bombers. They're pro bombers.
Right.
But no. Where do you stand on what is a terror? I'm not asking you to define terrorism, but this is a terroristic act, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It inspires fear. It could have led to massive casualties. Thankfully, it was in a business district on Christmas. And there wasn't too many casualties, I think. I don't think there was too many, was there?
No, I don't think so.
I actually haven't heard a lot about this, but again, I have two small children circulating around, and I just have to sort through a lot of misinformation that comes my way. I know that this guy's a weed-loving hippie, and that he was afraid of 5G, or he was a huge Trump supporter, and he knew that AT&T was going to be auditing the Dominion things for the federal government for X, Y, and Z, and he did that to attack AT&T. Or he's a patsy, or he's this, or he's that. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and the news really isn't talking about too deeply about, like.
No,
there's like, not. You have to go out and find. I'm pretty sure if you like went and actively tried to find information, but again, I have, you know, full time job, two small children under two, and you might know how to manage your time better than I do, but you know, I don't have time to sit down on my phone and look up, you know, Tennessee terrorism attacks. And then even if you type in Tennessee terrorism attacks, nothing comes up because it's not a thing.
Right. Yeah. Not to delve too much into political territory, but I feel like if you're a white guy who does something, it's not a terrorist.
It's a misunderstood individual. Yeah, it's a terrorist.
He had a rough day, sure.
And like,
terrorist.
I distinctly remember like there was a lot of protesting going on. And people were talking about the property damage that protests are causing in our city in particular.
Right.
And no one's like, man, these terrorist attacks are causing all this property damage. No one said that. Like,
right.
There's issues.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like, you know, terrorist attack versus whatever else you want to call it, it's one of those semantics things. Like, yeah. Because, and I could be totally off base, and, you know, if you guys are offended by what I'm about to say, fuck you. My understanding of it, like with a terrorist attack, it's not so much about the amount of damage they do or, you know, how many lives they take or anything like that, but more about the symbolism.
There was an audio recording playing telling people to evacuate this zone.
Right.
And like someone shot out at the police in this thing. Like, this guy had a message he wanted to deliver. What that message was. And again, that's what makes me believe it's a terrorist. Like there's an idea. There's a thought.
Right. Yeah.
So
you're trying to use fear to spread your message and your symbolism. So to me, that is.
Apparently, he told his neighbor that, like, you know, this RV apparently sat in his driveway for a while, not doing anything. And he had a longtime girlfriend that, like, you know, knew he was building a bomb back there. And then he told the neighbor one day, like, hey, man, you know, they're never going to forget about me. I'm going to make an impression now. Okay. It's weird. So this guy had an agenda. I would like to know what his true agenda was. Was he the hippie-loving person that was afraid of 5G towers and just finally was like, that's coming to get me? But, you know, but there's also...
The 5G thing, though, just to comment on that for a second, amazing to me. That's something that people...
Yo, what is passing off as conspiracy theory these days is so outlandish.
They're like, wait, cell phones are faster now? Yeah. Fucking government.
They're going to put a microchip in my arm through the vaccine as I tweet this with my location on.
Right. It's So I love, from an entertainment perspective, I love conspiracy theories.
So do I.
I don't believe in them, though. Listen, our government constantly lies to us and will do anything to make a buck off of us.
Exactly.
Anything.
They'll sell us out in a heartbeat.
Right. So, sure.
Case in point, they just did that. They're like, oh, we gotta fund everybody with a $9 trillion. I know it's out there. Everyone else knows the exact number, but I don't. Whatever that exuberant number is, and like everyone in America is getting $600, but like all this other money is going to all these other countries.
Right.
How is that a thing?
So wow. I don't trust our government. I know our government would sell us out in a heartbeat. So don't get me wrong. It's not – this isn't like some pro-government thing. It's more our government's control of this country is – even to call it tenuous would be a joke. Look at what happened here in Philadelphia, as you already alluded to. The city basically caught on fire. The cops were like, we don't know what to do. So the military was brought in, like, insanity.
They were stationed in my parking spot.
Right, and that was just a couple thousand people protesting. There's 12 million people in the Philadelphia metro area. So, like, if a actual sizable percentage of Philadelphia, like, they would have overthrown the military presence easily. It wouldn't even have been any kind of a... So, like, my perspective of it, and what gave me this perspective, so not to go off on a tangent... So Loud and Loaded started as a radio station.
Right.
When Loud and Loaded was a radio station, they never confirmed that this was why, but my passport was seized at one point. I had to comply with this federal investigation. And it was the silliest fucking thing I've ever experienced in my whole life. At first, it was really scary. When you get a letter from the government, they're like, we took your passport and you can't ever go anywhere and you have to comply with this investigation. It's scary.
Meanwhile, you're like, how'd you get my sock?
And it seems like this whole scary thing until you start complying with the investigation and they're like, we're going to need you to send us your Sam's Club card. Like, that was one of the things that, legit, not a joke, I had to send them my Sam's Club card, the original card, not a copy, until they were done with their investigation. So,
Mike, Jesus Christ, how'd you go to Sam's?
I know. So what this means is, essentially, and what brought all this about...
The government is really inconveniencing for buying bulk paper towels.
This is, so essentially what started this, and they wouldn't confirm it or anything like that, because what they do, if they don't have warrants for something, what they can do, they look for some way to fuck with your life to force you to comply with an investigation without a warrant. So I, while this was happening, had applied to renew my passport. So they seized my passport. That's what happened. So... That's how they forced me to comply with the investigation. Again, really scary in the beginning. And what basically started it, this all coincided with, we were going to have an arms dealer on the radio station.
That's right. This was the was this the 3D printing thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
We were going to talk about 3D printing guns and all kinds of stuff. And
it's actually one of the first conversations that you and I had was, you asked me, Tony, how do you feel about 3D printing guns? And so I was like, wow, Mike's pro Second Amendment. I like Mike. All right.
So we're going to have this guy on. And so essentially what it boiled down to, and this is where I found the ridiculousness of it. Essentially, they felt that I was somehow engaged in illegal international arms dealing. And the best they could do is mildly inconvenience me when I go to Sam's Club by forcing me to check in as a guest when you walk in the door because I didn't have my card. And they know it's a good 5 to 10 minute wait in that guest check-in line before you can go shop in the store. So they really showed me that.
On the plus side of that is, thankfully, you live in America where that's how they inconvenience you, though.
Right. Like, that's true.
On the opposite side of that coin.
No, 100%. Yeah, I would have just been killed.
If this would have been Iran, it would have been like, what? Boom.
Yeah,
like, you've been gone.
So, absolutely. But at the same, the other side of that is, like, I really had never, I always kind of thought our government's sort of like the fuck-up uncle who doesn't kind of ever get their shit together. I really knew how fucked up it was.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wait, so there's a federal investigation where you think I'm possibly involved in international arms dealing? And what you've got is, send me your high school yearbooks and Sam's Club card? That's it? Okay. it was really inconveniencing to not have, because we had to move, like, travel plans because of the passport and stuff like that. So don't get me wrong, I was annoyed, but vaguely annoy me is the best the government could do, thinking I was facilitating genocide somewhere in the world. that's what they had. That was the game plan. Like, oh yeah, let's see him get those deals this Sunday.
Right.
Like, that was for real what happened. So when people start going off on
buy that Dell there too, man. I know you're talking about it.
When people start going off on these super elaborate conspiracy theories, I'm like, let me tell you a story. They thought I was legit dealing arms to like third world countries to facilitate genocides. I sent them my Sam's Club card, high school yearbooks, and some other totally random shit. Because the best the federal government could do was kind of annoy me for 6 months. Like, that's what they had. That's their game plan. So, no, they're not. The elaborate conspiracy theories and stuff are not happening because they don't have their shit together. Are they fucking us over every chance they get? Absolutely. Yeah, but in a scumbag, junkie cousin who robbed you kind of way, not in like the evil mastermind kind of way.
But I also love the people that buy into these weird conspiracies too now.
Yeah.
It's like, it makes me feel rational. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I've never thought things were this crazy, but you think things are that crazy? Like, you know, personal opinion, I think a lot of large part of the COVID thing is, you know, it's part of a biological weapon. You know, that's personally like, we've been at war with China for years. This is just like the next step in that direction.
A lot of people feel that way.
But like, I go on the internet to talk to people about how I feel about this, like we do, so we can reconfirm our bullshit. Especially in times like this, when I can't go to the bar and just rant and rave after I get half a few about the damn China virus and the COVID is sent over here as a biological weapon. Just shut up and drink your Jack, Tony. No one wants to hear that. I'm telling you, they do. They need to hear it. I'll have more. Yes, but yeah. So I'm like, you know, and this one guy's like going off about how you don't need to wear a mask, you know, because of this, because it's a biological weapon. I was like, wait, so someone launches a biological weapon so you don't take an extra necessary precaution to cover your goddamn face in case it is a deadly virus?
It is interesting you say that, because I've definitely seen posts from the same people who will say COVID's not real, and then also it's a terrorist attack. And I'm just like, these are conflicting opinions about this.
You can't be both ways on it, man.
Right.
You can't be like, it's a biological weapon that doesn't exist from China. Wait, hold on. Can't do that.
So we should go to war. Wait, what?
You know, it's a biological weapon. All you're talking about is vaccines and masks. No one's talking about upping your immune system. Well, no, but you should be doing that anyway. Who said you shouldn't do that?
And I've got to be honest with you. Everybody shut the fuck up about 5G. I need Netflix at the touch of a finger. Like, I had buffering the other day.
Oh, my God. So
like,
did I.
Yeah, for like one of the first times in a while. And I'm like, where the fuck is my 5G?
Yeah. Notice my phone was on LTE. I was not happy about that.
And it is interesting, though, because I'm 99% sure that the vast majority of people posting the 5G stuff don't know what 5G is. I'm quite sure.
But they're cool with, like, they're mad at 5G, but they're not mad at, like, you know, their actual other things in the atmosphere.
Right.
You know, that could harm them.
Well, it's interesting.
Like space, because Earth's flat.
Right.
There's that one.
Here's one.
Now, the funny thing is, like, the biological weapon, they're the 5G people that also believe the Earth is flat. Like, that's a trifecta. This person has a degree from Wikipedia.
It's interesting to me. The flat Earth thing is always fun and interesting to me because
I appreciate their research.
Right.
Because, like, every time you're like, well, how about this? Like, I have a compelling argument for that. And they're like, son of a bitch.
I mean,
I'm not doubting science.
It falls apart if you've ever taken a lengthy plane ride.
Oh, yeah.
And you can actually see the curvature of the Earth when you go across country. But other than that, like, at least they've thought out a lot of it. Whereas, like, 5G people, you're just like, so what do you think 5G is? And they're like, well, that's what they microchip you. And they, do you know that it's cell phone speed?
You know,
what are you talking about?
Communication towers, right?
It's just an upgrade on existing cell phone towers to make your phone work faster.
I love when they point out like the camouflage cell phone towers. Like that's a 5G tower. No, that's just to make it look more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
So when you're driving on the highway, you're just like, oh, look at that. You're like, oh, that's a weird looking tree. Oh, that's a tower.
Like, I don't know how to tell you guys. I hate it when my phone doesn't work somewhere, especially as somebody who travels a lot. So bring on the 5G.
Yeah. Heck, you want 7G.
Yeah, I want us to jump 5G. Why are we only on 5G? I feel like we've had 4G for a long time.
And I remember when it wasn't even a G.
Yeah.
You just had a phone. And it was like 9 p.m. You could use it.
It was amazing that your phone worked.
Yeah. And Snake. Oh, the good old days. I miss Snake.
I watched a video on YouTube, and it was a guy trying to figure out if he could program an entire video game into a QR code. Not just link you to a game that starts, but put the actual programming language into the QR code.
Wow.
So he made Snake.
Okay.
So if you read the QR code, Snake will just automatically launch on your device.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
5G!
So you just want to play Snake. You look that up.
Now I want to play Snake.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was our little tidbit on current events. And
2020.
2020 conspiracies.
Cults conspiracies.
Cults conspiracies and Cthulhu.
But yeah, I personally don't think, and I don't argue with anybody, like it could be, but I personally haven't put a lot of thought into the whole biological weapon thing. But I don't fault anybody who thinks that, because I blame religion, and that puts a lot of people off, so...
Is that because certain religious groups clean their hands more than other religious groups?
No, although the hand cleaning thing still upsets me so much. So early on in this, and I know we've mostly settled on bats now, but early on in this, they were talking a lot about pangolins as well. Pangolins are the most black market trafficked animal in the world. And mostly to China, where they're used in religious practices, because people believe if you eat their scales... gives you God or something. I don't know. But so
I believe in some wacky things.
Yeah.
Which also makes me believe that the movie Big Trouble Little China is not that far off. No pan. Sorry.
And again, like that's not like mainstream Chinese beliefs or religious beliefs.
No, Big Trouble Little China is a movie about by John Carpenter.
No, but the pangolin. That's more of like a cult thing there, but because of it, pangolins have become the most illegally trafficked animal in the world. They have COVID-19 naturally.
Right.
Just like bats and types of bats do and things like that. So that's definitely a part of it. And our spread of it here, especially in the beginning, if you go back and read a lot of the news reports, are almost entirely tied to religious groups. You had people, especially in New York, who got it really badly. There was a lot of church groups who were like, we're not stopping, we're doing this, and then spread it to, like, individual parishes, spread it to thousands and thousands of people who then spread it to millions of people. So I do think a huge part of the problem is religion, but nobody wants to talk about that. So I understand, like, while I've never put much thought into the biological weapon thing, I get it.
Yeah.
But either way, as long as we all agree, it's real.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's a tangible thing. Regardless of how you think it started, hell, it could just be the Earth going, there's too many goddamn humans and a lot of them in America.
The happening is real.
Like, so there's something out there, and you should take care of yourself and precaution.
Well, and that's the other part of it. Say you believe it's a biological weapon, or say it is. We'll just say, for argument's sake of this, it's 100% a biological weapon. It relied on us being so fucking stupid that we wouldn't follow any sort of protocol. And guess what? They were right.
Exactly. No, but that's the thing. America's really big on the individual.
Yeah.
And that's also what our problem is. You know, all these other countries have...
Tony's pro-communism.
No, I'm not pro-communism. Jesus Christ.
You heard it right here, people.
No! I'm not
a dictator. He's going to overthrow this country.
Okay, I'm not stopping you on either one of those things.
Tony totalitarian government.
Yes, yes. You guys would all hate it because there'd be a lot of forced labor camps. I'm not even going to lie about that. Everyone would have a job. You get benefits. You get taken care of if you work. If you don't, guess what? We're going to save a lot of money because you're not going to need Congress. You're not going to need a Senate. You're not going to need any of that bullshit. You're just going to have Tony making all the decisions.
I'm not hearing a lot of negative. To be honest with you,
a penguin in every house and a line of blow on every bathroom stall door.
Sold.
Yeah. Well, actually, on the toilet thing. I mean, the toilet paper thing. Yeah. Be a good time. Love penguins.
And I love blow.
Coming next week, penguins and blow. That'd be a cool blues name.
Would be. It's too close that Ween has a song called Bananas and Blow.
They do.
That's a good song. Go listen to that song.
Yeah, I forget where I was going with that, but no. Yeah, so anyway. Yeah, so 2020, we said that again, you know. Did you happen to check out any good horror movies this year?
I did. There was a few, and it's funny because before we recorded this, I looked at a couple of, like, top 10 horror movies of 2020, and I realized I haven't seen the majority of movies that everybody loved this year. I did absolutely love it. As of now, it's still the last movie I saw in theaters. I think it was amazing. If I never get to see another movie in a traditional theater the way that we had them, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with this being the last one.
Okay.
Was Invisible Man.
I actually read really good things about that. And I wanted to see that.
Yeah, it's so good. It's a very classic horror movie, like the classic Universal style movies. Not in the sense that it's like gothic. It's modern.
From what I read about it, I love the way they updated it.
Yeah.
I thought that was genius.
It's perfectly acted and paced.
I like how it plays on a lot of the mental health things because.
Yeah.
In this day and age, you know, that's something that we all focus on right now. It's a tangible thing almost. We're grappling with it, and to see it play out in that kind of way, I was really excited about that.
And it removes any supernatural or too science fictiony element from it, but not in a way
practical,
right? But not in a way that's a cop out. Like it's still a horror movie. There's still great kills in it, great scares in it. It's a horror movie, 100%. But done in a way that is completely believable.
Now, from what I read about, it's almost like a slasher movie, too, right?
Yeah. It plays out like a slasher movie. It seems almost supernaturalish in parts, but by the time everything kind of plays out, it's very, very grounded, considering it's about an invisible person. As the name, I'm not giving anything away. It's in the name. Considering it's about an invisible man, it seems incredibly grounded.
Okay.
A good follow-up, or a good like runner-up to that, that's by far, but a really, really good movie was Host. I really enjoyed that as well.
Is that an American film?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like I've seen a Korean film named Host.
There is a Korean film named Host.
Okay, I've seen that.
It's not that one. Okay. The other Host.
It's like I saw this maybe in 2007.
Yeah, it's an older movie, too.
It's Park the other Chan. Movie. Okay. Like, I just saw Host. I'm like, yo, we just mentioned any movie right now.
2020 is just a time void. I just saw this movie, Psycho. I feel like it's going to change the landscape of horror cinema.
Okay.
No, you can watch it. Shudder picked it up.
Okay.
In a very forward-thinking move of them. So a horror filmmaker and his friends made a little short film on Zoom.
Oh, was this the pandemic yes. horror movie? Okay, yeah, I've heard about this.
Zoom. They made like a 5-minute short on Zoom, literally of them sitting and talking, and it's a little short film. They put it up on Twitter. It blew up. So Shudder got in touch with them. They're like, how quickly can you turn this into a feature? So within a couple of months, they had an hour-long movie. It's a little rough around the edges because, again, it was made very quickly, and it is made entirely on Zoom. It's a Zoom call movie. It's not the first horror movie that's been done entirely through laptops and things like that.
Yeah.
There's three or four of them. Open Windows is one. What is that? Unfriended, things like that. But this was done all very practical, very low rent. This is literally just the cast were filming themselves on Zoom because it was all
this summer
pandemic.
This pandemic brings you people filming themselves on their laptops. Chatterbait.com presents. it's a Zoom horror movie. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I've seen some stuff on Zoom before. Maybe a paid Zoom server. I don't know.
It was really, really, it was really good though, and it's. It's a little bit rough around the edges, so I feel like it's very much on the other end of the spectrum where Invisible Man visually is like perfectly put together. Incredibly well shot. Everything looks great. This is a little more rough around the edges, but done so quickly to make it still timely
now,
in the midst of the pandemic.
Because I have two small children and I worked most of the pandemic, much like yourself. But, like, you know, anytime I was home, I was entertaining these guys. We can't really take them anywhere or do anything with them or just drop them off anywhere. You know, because viruses. The two movies you talked about really interest me because The Invisible Man played a lot on, it looks like there's a little bit of the mental health thing in it. But now, what you were talking about, the pandemic, got me excited, because I was just thinking, maybe we're going to get like a new type of style of horror movie coming out through this pandemic, because with people having maybe some psychological issues or mental breakdowns that put some pen to paper on things that they had to get out of their head, you know, during this pandemic, and they were just like left alone with that. Because like you and I have the benefit of having, you know, a partner, a loved one that we lived with.
Right.
You know, that, so like, you know, there's people out there that don't have that, and they had to hold up by themselves for at least 2 weeks at some point in time.
Right.
You know? So you think we're going to get some interesting horror movies in a couple of years because of this?
I do. And that's why I like Host. And again, it's not the first, I believe it's called Screen Life, the subgenre where things are done entirely on laptops like that. And again, there's probably 5 or 6 movies like that. And most of them horror movies. It was done not only during the pandemic, but done on Zoom,
right,
in the way that people were actually communicating with each other. And it hit just as Zoom really peaked, like just as that wave was really hitting. So it became something where people watching it were seeing what they were actually doing at that time, relating to it in real time in a way that other horror movies, like Invisible Man, has stuff with mental health and relationships and things like that, that I think generally people can relate to. This was something where people were just on a Zoom call with whoever
their parents. All right, I got to go. Hey, you want to watch this movie?
Let's go watch this movie. And it's get people on a Zoom call that goes poorly without giving anything away. So it's interesting.
Good.
Yeah.
And like I said, I really didn't watch anything new this year. I did watch American Horror Story 1984.
Nice. Haven't watched it yet.
So
I watched the first episode.
I dig the American Horror Story franchise shows. I like the anthology of it. Again, I think the first couple episodes of every season are really good.
Yeah.
And then they do the American Horror Story thing where they make this weird convoluted story that's actually not that weird, but it's just a little too weird and there's too much stuff going on.
It gets too convoluted.
Yeah.
And I it happens every season because it's an anthology. It sucks me back in. It's not like I'm giving up on it each season. The first few episodes I think are great. Then they just introduce too many
elements
to it. And it just, yeah. But at that point it's like, well, I have 3 episodes left. I'm not going to not finish it. Because there were what, 12 episodes a season? Something like that.
Like the one Asylum that they did, I really dug that one. And then I really thought that could have ended 3 episodes earlier than it did. I was like, they could have wrapped this up a while back.
Honestly, the only one that doesn't shit the bed at some point for me was the Roanoke one.
I really like the Roanoke one. Yeah. I understand the American Horror Story purists don't.
Right.
I thought
which is what I think is funny. Yeah. Like, I know a lot of the fan base doesn't like
it. I thought that was really, but then again, I also have a soft spot for that story.
Yeah, I liked that story to begin with, just like you. And I also think it was the only one that stayed consistent the whole time.
Yeah, it knew what it was. Yeah. And then when you found out what was going on, like midway through it, and then everything started playing out the way it does, you're like, well, this actually all adds up at the end. Like, it makes sense. I never saw the Freak Show one. I didn't make it through Hotel, and I didn't see Cult.
So I have a little bit of a soft spot for Hotel.
Is it because you like Lady Gaga dry humping things?
No, although it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, definitely gave me a nice Cinemax feel to it. Good job, FX.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt. But Hotel, I had a little bit of a soft spot for, only because. So one of my favorite movies is The Shining.
Okay.
Yeah. Set in a hotel. I spend a lot of time in hotels.
You're talking about the Stanley Kubrick version, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Not dude from Wings.
Yeah.
It'd be really weird. Like, no, the guy with the one from Wings.
The fucking Mick Garris 90s remake. That one. The one where the topiary animals come to life and he's chased by a big fluffy green teddy bear.
Yes.
That movie. Yeah. So terrifying.
So good.
Although
that mallet.
Yeah.
Not but
yeah.
Yeah.
But no, like I love The Shining. And I had at the time, right around the time that Hotel was coming out, just watched a ton of stuff about the Cecil Hotel, which was what they used as the basis.
Which was H.H. Holmes's joint, right?
No. But him too, something I always liked. H.H. Holmes. Cecil Hotel is a hotel in California. It's closed right now, but they're planning on reopening it. It went out of, not because of the pandemic, went out of business shortly before the pandemic, but it's a historic landmark building. It's like 150 years old. It is famous for its deaths and different things, but the irony of it is it doesn't have, like, what's interesting about the story is it doesn't have a lot of deaths there. So hotels, which makes sense if you think about it, a lot of people die in hotels because hotels have thousands and thousands of people who come through them every right. year. So statistically, it's not weird for a hotel to have a large number of deaths. The Cecil Hotel is actually famous as this like cursed hotel where all these people have died. It's actually like a tenth of the national average of deaths in the hotel. Oh. There. It has a bizarrely low number of deaths at the Cecil Hotel. They just happen to be famous.
Now, do you think people that knowing they're dying go there and take like extended stays there till they die?
I don't know.
Or do people die there in mysterious means?
I think it's just...
Or is it like Chinese food? Column A, column B.
A little column A and column B. Right. I think it's just it happens to be tied to a couple of really well-known deaths.
Interesting.
So I think like the Motel 6 around the corner from it has had 50 times more deaths than the Cecil Hotel has. But it didn't have the press that the Cecil Hotel got. So it's good marketing or bad marketing, depending on how you look at it. But that's what they used as the basis for the hotel. They based a lot of it on the Cecil Hotel.
I just want to say something. Nothing bad about Motel 6. I happen to work in a few Motel 6s as a stand-up comedian. And top-notch accommodations.
I've seen a lot of...
Cancel culture's real, man.
You're afraid that Motel 6 is going to cancel you?
Yes.
I don't have to worry
about it. Not for the political tangent we had earlier.
That's my line. You're like cults, bombings, biological terrorism. But let me just tell you, Motel 6 gives you a good bang for your buck, okay?
Stayed in a lot of Motel 6s and performed in them. I can't talk shit about it.
The last one that I stayed at when we did a couple of weeks in Massachusetts last year. Not last year, the year before, because we're in 2021 now. In 2019, we were in Massachusetts for a few weeks, and we did Lynn, Salem, and Boston. And we used the Motel 6 as like our base, because getting hotels at that time around 6, because it was right around Halloween, in Salem, like a Motel 6 in Salem was like $3,000 a night, like just insanity. So the place where we stayed was okay. It wasn't anything special. And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that we're at a point now where I'm used to really nice hotels when we go places. So it was a big step down from what
your accommodations
we're used to now. But it was fine. There was nothing wrong with it.
I always love traveling people like that, because I've stayed in a lot of like hole-in-the-wall, dingy, dimly lit, murder scene kind of places. And I've also I've traveled people that I've never stayed in those kind of places before. We'll get to a place, I'm like, well, you're not cool with that? Yeah, that stain's been there for at least a week.
Yeah.
It's not getting out.
Oh, no. I've been in horrifying places before that I wouldn't even go into now. But I'm at a point now where like I'm old, so I'm like, fuck that. Like part of my... anything where we travel now, I was like, I need a decent hotel that I'm staying in.
Yeah.
So that's like one of my few like demands of things. Like I need to be put up in a decent hotel. So it was a step down from what I've now become accustomed to.
I love one of your accommodations. Like I need to be treated like a decent human being.
Yeah. I need to not share my room with a homeless squad.
No.
That was okay in the beginning.
But I understand that room's on retainer by a hooker. But.
Yeah. Like and now I'm a little bit spoiled because like the last few tours it was like I had my own suite and shit like that. So
yeah.
So then jumping back to Motel 6, I'm just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Motel 6.
Great accommodation.
But yeah, the Cecil Hotel. If they reopen and travel's a thing, we should go there and do like an episode from there. Because again, it's somehow interesting.
So give me some famous deaths that happened there. I'm familiar with it, but I'm not. Like I know vaguely what you're talking about.
Yeah. So the ones that it's most famous for is Richard Ramirez stayed there for a while.
Hey, funny thing about him, he's an American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Because he's at the Cecil Hotel. And he also went camping, apparently. Did he? Oh, yeah. He went there.
So he stayed there. Aerobics. It's also tied to the Black Dahlia murder.
Okay.
That was one of the last places she was seen. There was a couple of like infamous suicides that happened there and a few random deaths. And then the last one internet culture wise would know was the Elisa Lam death, which has spawned a bunch of movies and TV shows and shit now. Mental health issues, lady was staying there, because Cecil Hotel in its heyday was this big grand hotel. In its last few years before it closed, it kind of declined a lot and was falling into disrepair. And they were basically renting it out as like, stay here for a week for $35 kind of thing. So she was like a college student who was staying there with somebody. She was taking various medications, had stopped taking her medications, had like a mental breakdown. A lot of it was caught on security camera, her mental breakdown, which has now circulated online everywhere.
Is this really, lady that got like into the elevator?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, weird erratic behavior and stuff like that. And then they found her body eventually
in the water tower.
In the water tower of the hotel, on top of the hotel. After days of guests complaining, the water tasted weird and was a strange color.
So she put herself in there, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's where it's famous, because there are people who argue that she couldn't have put herself into the water tower. It was ruled a suicide. But there are people who feel that it was a murder. And they feel that if you watch her running around the hotel on the security camera footage, they feel that she's being chased. But you never actually see anybody else.
I don't know. Someone who's had a mental breakdown, man, there's a lot of pacing, running, and erratic hand movements.
Right. And that's...
But if you, if
someone... When I look at it, and I'm not a detective, when I look at it as somebody who's had their own mental issues and been around people who've had serious mental breakdowns, that's what it looks like. Yeah. She just looks like somebody who's having a breakdown. It doesn't look to me like she... I see why people would think that. Because if you've never seen somebody act erratically like
and
that
And to be
before,
fair, if she was having a said breakdown... And
she may have thought somebody was chasing
got, her. And got up onto the roof and saw the water tower and was just like, yo, this is how I'm safe.
Yeah,
I just gotta hide in the water tower. I'm just going to hide in there and everything's going to be all right. And I'm just going to like take a nap.
Yeah.
And then you get up in there and realize, oh, fuck. Well,
I can't get out now.
I can't get out. But at the same time, it's like, this isn't the worst thing. They kind of wanted to go this way, right? Like, I wanted to die. Like,
you know? Right.
I'm like, I mean, I'm sorry. When mental breakdowns happen, that's where things go. And that's how you get. It's dark. Much like on The Horror Connection, it's dark.
But yeah, it's
like 2020.
It inspired, there's a couple of movies and different documentaries and things. It also inspired a really popular TV show that was on for a few seasons. I can't remember. Some lawyer show, and they did like one of those inspired by true events things.
Okay.
So it starts with them finding a body in the water tower of a hotel, and it spirals off from there. Similar type of thing, though, but it gets into like conspiracies and crazy shit off of it. So it's there's actually not a lot of people who've died there. It's just it's tied to a few famous things.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's and one documentary that I watched actually broke down like, and they picked, I don't know if it was a Motel 6 or whatever, but they picked some motel that was nearby, and they were like, this motel, which has been open for 50 years, has had 1,000 deaths or something. They're like, that sounds crazy. It's not, though. 8 million people have stayed there in 50 years or whatever it is. They're like, the Cecil Hotel's been around for 150 years. It's only had 200 deaths. They're like, that's weird. They're like, if you want to say something that's weird about it, they're like, you're unusually safe, apparently, in the Cecil Hotel. They're like, considering how much it's gone down in quality, they're like, you're actually bizarrely safe there. It has a really low death number. It's just that it's tied to a handful of really famous things now.
Interesting.
I would love to go there and do a show from there, though.
I would check it out.
Yeah.
West Coast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
On the road.
And just check out places with mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we should go out mozzarella sticks and horror movies.
Yep, that's fine with me. I'm sold. I'm a cheap date. Yeah, so 2020, that was pretty much a wrap-up of things.
And I'm sure when they reopen, they'll have a hot tub so we can do our
bear chat. Yeah.
Do our bear chat from there in the hot tub.
Exactly. I think that's a great idea. What else happened in 2020? There was the pandemic.
Yeah.
I feel like we touched about that.
We did. We hit on that a little bit.
We hit about that a little bit. There was the... again, I didn't watch too much horror. I have two small children. Sorry. Talk about kids' shows. I'm not going to do that. That's terrifying to me. there was the Tiger King. That was a thing.
Yes, it was.
Holy shit, that was a thing. That became a cultural phenomenon.
It did. What did you think of it?
I realized if I didn't have children, I would, after seeing that, I would have bought a tiger.
Yeah,
that's all I thought about. As soon as I got a stimulus check,
yeah,
and I was like, oh my God, Carrie and I combined just got $2,400.
I remember watching it with the person I live with, and when we got to the episode when they were actually talking about like the prices and stuff of tigers, and by this point, like, somebody's had their arm chewed off.
Yeah.
There's been drugs. Yep. There's been, you know, sex cults. There's been all this other stuff. And so you're like halfway into the show and they mention like $1,500 to $2,000 for a tiger. And by the end of that episode, and the person I live with is just like, wow, this show is crazy. And I was just like, right? I could own a tiger.
Yeah.
And that was my takeaway.
When the incubator Prodigy and I saw that episode, and like she stopped and went, for $2,000, we could buy a tiger. I was like, we have children. Because a little in-depth look into our lives, before we had kids or found out we were pregnant, we were looking
to buy a tiger.
No, we weren't going to buy a tiger. But we were looking into how to get a domesticated raccoon.
Okay.
Because we were in our mid to late 30s and we hadn't had children yet. And we were like, hey, domesticated raccoon sounds like a good animal to have in a row home in Philly.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's trash. Yeah. It is trash. So then we found out we were pregnant and just gave up on that idea. So she looked at me, she was like, if we didn't have kids, as soon as we saw this, you know we'd be buying a tiger. Yeah. And I wouldn't be doing this podcast right now, because a tiger would fucking ate me.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I would have 100% bought a tiger. And our friend Kelly, same thing, he and I talked about the show after it was over, and he was just like, my biggest takeaway from that is I can buy a tiger. He's like, well, it's just not something that ever occurred to me.
Like, it's not unfeasible to buy a tiger.
Yeah. It seems, I'm going to be honest, like, not, I'm not saying that's not a lot of money, but like, that's way less than I would have guessed. If you were like, how much is a tiger? A lot more than $1,500 to $2,000. Yeah. But I found that with animals, for the most part, I have no idea what animals cost.
Neither do I, because I get mad when people pay for cats. Like, I can go find you a cat right now. It's not a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
You go outside,
like, I hear, cats. I know people have bought, like, dogs from breeders and stuff like that.
I don't get that either.
There's thousands of dollars on dogs. So that sounds crazy to me.
Like, I want a dog with papers. Okay.
And that sounds absolutely insane to me.
And by the same time, dogs are doing any of that. Okay, fine, whatever. I just think it's pointless. There's plenty of shelters with dogs in them that are just as cool. Probably cooler because they have character. Stupid breeders.
But, like, that sounds insane. Fuck you, God. That sounds insane to me, like, spending thousands of dollars on a dog.
No.
But at the same time, through weird circumstances, there's this zoo that we really like going to.
The Cape May Zoo?
Yeah. Okay. And we've been there so many times that, like, the zookeepers knew us. So we were there the one time, and there are these birds that they just let run around. They're guinea fowl. So we're like, what are these birds that we see everywhere? And the Cape May Zoo, to their credit, not only is it, in my opinion, the best zoo, but they have signs up everywhere about why you shouldn't own exotic animals. So we're speaking to one of the zookeepers, and we're like, what are these animals? And they're explaining them to us, and as an offhand comment, the person I live with was like, oh, we should get one. And the person turned around, I'm fully expecting, because I'm about to jump in and go, we're just kidding, expecting them to give me some sort of lecture about it. Gray bats. And I was like, what? this is not where I thought this was gonna go. She's like, you should totally get one. I'm like, we're standing under a sign that says do not own exotic animals. Like, what? And she's like, yeah, you should totally get them. They make great pets. They do this, they eat mice, she's like, they eat bugs and small rodents. She's like, they'll clear your, you just throw them out in your yard. They clear your lawn, keep pests away. She's like, and they're very territorial. So if anybody comes near your house, they're going to freak out. So they're like an alarm system. And I was like, fuck you, lady. Like, what? I don't want to buy one of these birds. What are you doing?
Question, how much was it?
Well, that's the thing. So my fallback plan, because of course this person now is like, maybe we should look into getting one of these. So my fallback was like, they're going to be insanely expensive. They're not. Not at all. They, first off, look just, they basically look like ugly, what are those birds with big colored asses?
Peacocks?
Peacocks. They look like ugly peacocks without the feathers.
Nope. I'm out.
The birds are, so I looked them up online. It's like $20 and you get like five chicks.
What?
Yeah. Makes no fucking sense. They're basically free. So I'm like, this can't fucking be real.
I'll have to look this up because I'm kind of anti-peacock, but I don't want any pests in my lawn.
So, well, then I don't remember how this got started. Then I was like, I wonder if you could buy a peacock. So I looked it up. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And they're not, they're way more money. I guess scale wise, they're insanely expensive compared to $20 for five.
Yeah.
But they're a couple $100.
Yeah.
Like they're so, not what I thought they would cost.
At one point in time, this is not related to anything, especially in the year 2020, because this is 2009 to 2008. Yeah. To 2010. I trained in a Russian martial art called Sambo in Panama City Beach, Florida.
Please tell me you fought a peacock.
Close.
Now all I want to do is see a kung fu movie where I fight a peacock.
I was training this martial art Sambo, and
you're picturing it.
No, I know, because one of the things I used to have to do was I was about the weight I'm at now, and I had taken prior martial arts things in the past, and I was just looking to get back into an activity, and the coach, Carlos there, great guy, great trainer, made me run 2 miles before class every day. Like, I had to show up at class time and then go run 2 miles and then come back. And by the time I came back for the first couple of weeks, class was done.
Right.
Because I was severely out of shape and wasn't running or doing any of that. So, you know, I was paying someone the money to go to a martial arts school so I could just go run down the street. So, one, that was ridiculous. Thanks, Tony. You know, I was looking back and I'm like, oh, such an idiot. I just ran. I was like, oh, I wouldn't have done it because I was paying for it. Anyway. But on the way back, I had to pass a place called this martial arts studio is behind some in Panama City Beach, behind a place called Zoo World off of Allison Ave and Front Beach Road. Now, here's the thing. Zoo World had 2 giraffes die on them, mind you. And it's not as nice as the Cape May Zoo. I've never been to the Cape May Zoo, but it's not as nice as the Cape May Zoo because I've been to Zoo World. It's not that great. But they let the peacocks roam around the parking lot.
Oh, they do that in Cape May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I would run by every day. And every now and again, the peacock would look at me and, like, squawk and do this, that, and the other. Well, there was more than a time or two that the peacock decided, yo, this fucking thing needs to stop running by here every other day. And guess what? Decided to chase my ass. Those fucking things can run.
Yeah.
And I'm not, but like, I got back to class quicker that day. For like 2 to 3 days in a row, that peacock chased me, Mike. At least, I would say, from here to at least well past the traffic light down the street from your house, man. Like, the next turnabout, Pat, probably. Like, you know. Oh, my God.
Picture a kung fu movie, right?
Yeah.
You've worked your way through all the ninjas.
And the ensign peacock.
I assume ostrich guards.
Ostrich guards. Okay.
To get to.
Question, peacock. Do they have the kung fu robe?
Of course they do. Don't okay. All right.
I want to see the head thing and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of course they do. And then you get to the peacock at the end.
Okay.
Tell yeah. me you don't want to see that movie.
I kind of do. Yeah. It has to be a kid's movie, though.
Okay.
Yeah. You can add that to the pagan wing of kids' entertainment you're working on.
Children's entertainment.
Children's entertainment. So, yeah. So there's a little bit of a thing for you because yeah. we had some take some time off for the holidays and some other things. So there's a nonsensical 2020 wrap up for you.
Yeah.
You know, you could have bought a tiger in 2020. You could have wore a mask. We could have been avoiding 3 9/11s a day or some whatever it is, a week or whatever it is. I don't yeah. know. There's a pandemic going on, folks. And the year ended. But you know what? We're going to move forward from this into 2021, you know, and we're going to start things off right with our first episode of 2021. Warlock! Julian Sands Warlock. Now, Mike, I have a question for you that I want our audience members to think about. All right?
Okay.
So the next episode comes out, and this is Warlock we're talking about. All right? Does the Warlock have foreskin?
Interesting.
Dun, dun, dun! Tune in next week, folks. We're not going to have the answer to that. I just want you to think about it. But tune in next week where we talk
please,
about...
Please, please, tweet at Julian Sands.
Tweet Julian Sands. Ask him. Hey, Julian Sands. The Horror Connection wants to know, do you have foreskin? Or does the Warlock have foreskin?
Yeah, because he may or may not. That yeah. doesn't mean that's how he played the character.
No. Could have had it removed afterly. Yeah. You know, he could be like, you know, I'm sick and tired of having all this good sex. I just want to have some regular sex. Because I'm telling you right now, I've never had my foreskin removed, but sex is incredible with it.
I do not have foreskin. I still enjoy sex.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I'm never like, nah, I'm not into this. You got some foreskin. Yeah.
It's amazing. Tell me. Which is weird, Julian's hands. Ask him.
Oh, man, we did that 10-minute wrap up.
Yeah, right? Good stuff.
Well, I guess we'll wrap it up on that, folks.
Enjoy. See you next week for Warlock.